Well, welcome today. Glad to have you here. I want to begin by asking you a question. You don't need to raise your hands or anything, but here is the question. Are you scared of heights? Do you get freaked out if you're someplace super high, like on top of a roof or on top of a ladder or on top of a cliff? Because if you are, that's a good thing. That's God's gift to you. Because you know, if you fall, it will go bad for you from that height. In fact, if you've been super high in one of those kinds of places, it's amazing how doing something up there becomes so much more difficult than doing it down here. I mean, what's simple down here? Look, down here, I could walk on a very narrow path with no problem. But if I were on that same path and there was a 500-foot drop on this side and a cliff on this side, just walking a couple of feet along there would be so difficult, wouldn't it? Or if I'm up high on a ladder, if I'm down here and I reach for a tool, it's not that hard. But if I'm high up on a ladder and I have to reach for a tool, everything is slow and tentative and cautious. Why? Because you're up so high and the danger is that you're going to fall. And so everything slows down and everything gets difficult, and there's a certain level of anxiety, right? Unless there's a safety device, right? Then everything changes. If there's a railing or a glass wall between you and the cliff, or if you're attached to a harness, then you might be more cautious, but the security of that railing or that glass wall or that harness gives you the confidence to go about doing what it is that you were planning to do, because you are sure then that if you slip, at least you don't fall and get hurt. In fact, if you know that you're secure, you can do all kinds of things that you would otherwise never even considered. Take rock climbing, for example. I don't know if you've ever tried rock climbing, either outdoors or, you know, on a wall, but they give you this harness, and then they hook a rope to it, and then as you begin to climb, somebody, or sometimes a machine, pulls that rope up. Now, the fact that they're pulling that rope up doesn't make it any easier to climb. It's still hard. In fact, the higher you get, the harder it sometimes gets. But it gives you the kind of confidence to go higher than you would otherwise. In fact, it gives you the kind of confidence that when you're up there, you could take some calculated risks. You could stretch a little further than you would otherwise because you know that you're secure. That if you slip and fall, somebody is going to catch you. See, if you know that you're secure, even if sometimes it's harder than you imagine, you have the confidence to do and accomplish more than if you don't feel secure. And that's true not only when it comes to heights, isn't it? I mean, that's true when it comes to the relationships in our lives. If you have a boss that you aren't sure has your back, if you're not sure that your boss is a big fan of you, that makes your relationship much harder, doesn't it? Or if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're not sure that they're actually deeply committed to you, it's harder to do the kinds of things that you would normally do in that kind of a setting, right? You become a little bit more tentative in your actions. You aren't sure exactly what you're doing because you're not sure how they'll react. You get a little bit nervous about whether you're doing the right thing or not. And in fact, you're much less likely to take the kind of risks that will advance your career or that will benefit the business or that will cause your relationship to go deeper because you're fearful that if you get it wrong, your relationship will fail. You'll fall to your doom, so to speak. And so you don't. You remain tentative and nervous and don't take risks. But the irony of that is that often then that causes problems in your relationship, and your relationship gets worse anyway. It's like a catch-22. See, here's the principle that we see in life, that security leads to confidence. If you feel secure, whether it's high up on a cliff or in your work setting or in a relationship, it leads to the kind of confidence that allows you to take risks, that allows you to go further and higher, to climb higher up the mountain, to go deeper in your relationship, to accomplish more in your career, because you're not worried that every step you take, you know, something might go wrong and everything fails as a result. And of course, that doesn't make it easier. In fact, it may get harder. It simply means that you can go further and do more, because if you do stumble, your whole relationship isn't wrecked. And the same principle is true when it comes to faith in Jesus. If you know that you're secure in your relationship with Jesus, it will profoundly affect how you live out your life. In fact, knowing that you're secure in your relationship with Jesus is the difference between the message of the gospel and religion. And understanding that is so important that if you miss it, if you miss what we're talking about today and the security that you have in your relationship with Jesus, it will leave you forever with a tentative, nervous, anxious relationship with Jesus and a tendency for you to slip regularly out of faith in Jesus and into religion. And that would be a huge loss for you, because the opposite, if you have a secure relationship with Jesus, it'll allow you to go deeper in your relationship with him. And much more than that, it will allow you to take the kind of risks that will lead you to accomplish and experience fullness in this life that Jesus has to offer you. That's what faith in Jesus is all about, which is very different from religion. Because see, religion is based on an uncertain relationship with God or the gods, isn't it? I mean, it's based on never being quite sure if you're good enough to please God. It's based on, have you done the right things? And have you done enough of the right things? And always being a little tentative and always being a little nervous about it. And being worried that if you do something wrong, that God will punish you. And more than that, that he might even abandon you. And this kind of a mindset applies not just to those who are religious. I mean, even if you are someone who doesn't believe in God, you might say, you know, it still applies. You might say, well, I don't believe in God or the gods. I'm not trying to please any of them. But the fact of the matter is, you still feel pressure to perform, don't you? I mean, to keep up appearances, to prove yourself to yourself or to whoever it is that you are valuing in the world around you, and to prove that you're worthy of acceptance by yourself or by the people that you're looking to. And that, even if you don't believe in God, that results still in an insecurity in your life that won't allow you to relax, that won't allow you to experience the fullness and abundance of this life, because you're always performing for someone. But the passage that we're going to look at today in the Gospel of John, Jesus is going to explain that if you follow him, you're utterly secure in your relationship with him, and therefore it's never about performance. So here's the setting. John chapter 10. Jesus is in the temple during the festival of dedication. It's Hanukkah, which means it's wintertime. It's like December. And so they're in this sort of courtyard area that's covered because it's probably cold and maybe a little bit wet. And while he's there, these Jewish people that don't really like him come and kind of surround him and say to him, look, Jesus, we want you to explain to us plainly, to tell us plainly now, are you the Messiah or not? And here's how Jesus responds. He says, Jesus answered them, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. His answer is that he has told them. They could know if he's the Messiah if they just looked at what he had done. His miracles, his teachings, the life that he's living, it's very clear. But they don't want to see it. They can't see it because they're not looking for that kind of a Messiah. The kind of Messiah that they're looking for is a political leader and a military Messiah. And that's not the kind of leader that Jesus is. In fact, if you were here last week, the section just before this, Jesus explained what kind of a leader that he is. He says, he explained that the title that he has for himself is not king, it's not general. Rather, the title that he assumes when it comes to leadership is Good Shepherd, which means that the primary purpose of his leadership is that those who are under his care, those who are following after him, will flourish. In fact, he is so committed to that kind of leadership in the lives of those who follow him that he willingly lays down his life for them. And so now Jesus answers the people who are questioning him, and he tells them that even though who he is so evident. They can't see it, he says, because they are not his sheep. And now he's going to go on to describe those who are his sheep. Here's what he says in verse 27. He begins by saying this: my sheep listen to my voice. Now, we talked about this last week if you were here. You remember, a sheep knows a shepherd's voice. They understands what that voice is and can determine what it is, as opposed to all the other voices that are out there, and only responds to that voice. But what I want you to notice in this passage today is that the shepherd wants a relationship with his sheep. He doesn't bellow orders to them from on high. Instead, he is the kind of relationship with sheep, his sheep, that he talks to them. He communicates with them. He shares his heart with his sheep. You know, I once worked for a boss. He was my direct report. And over the course of a year, I only had two conversations with him over the entire year. And one was in an elevator. And the other was on the day that I tendered my resignation, which meant that I had no real relationship with him. I didn't have a very clear sense of where he was going, of what he was passionate about. I didn't have any idea of whether he was happy with how I was doing or if he was unhappy with what I was doing. And the result was that it left me pretty tentative, kind of nervous and anxious and a little bit lost, because I lacked the kind of security that comes from having an active relationship with my boss. Because see, healthy communication is necessary if you want a secure relationship. Jesus isn't that way. Jesus, if he's your good shepherd, he speaks to you. He speaks primarily through his word, through the Bible, but also through the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And he tells you that he loves you and that he cares for you. And he explains to you what he expects of you. And he invites you to follow him into those places where you will flourish if you're obedient to do what he calls you to do. Because see, Jesus has a very real relationship with his sheep. And this is the first way that you can know that you have confidence, that you can know that you're secure in your relationship with Jesus, because he has a real relationship with you. That's the first thing he points out. Here's the second thing that he says. He says this: I know them. I know my sheep, Jesus says. He knows you and me perfectly, deeply. Now, here's the thing about being known. We as humans, we have this deep desire to be known, don't we? I mean, we want someone in our life, a friend, a spouse, a parent. We want somebody in our world that just knows us at the deepest levels, that we can tell them what we really feel and what we really think, and they can see what we're really like. But at the same time, we have this incredible fear that if we ever tell someone who we really are, if we get past the good parts that we put forward, and if we get to those parts of us that have the quirks and the insecurities and the brokenness, if we begin to reveal those parts to us, if we really let someone know who we are, we have this fear that once they see who we are, once they really know, that they will run screaming out of the room, or more likely quietly disengage and back out of our life. And so we have both this desire and this fear. And Jesus says, not with me. He says, I know you perfectly. There's nothing in your life that I don't know. There's no dark corners that I'm unaware of. There's no secret that could come out and be like, oh, I didn't know that. I mean, there's nothing that you could say or do that would make him run away or withdraw from you. Brendan Manning tells a story about a pastor that he knew who was kind of spiraling out of control. That pastor's life just, went down until he hit rock bottom. And when he hit rock bottom, he resigned his position as pastor in the church. He abandoned his wife and his kids, and he found himself in a logging camp in a northern part of the United States. And one day, on a very cold day, that man was shivering in a little aluminum trailer, trying to get a little bit of heat from a portable electric heater, when that heater suddenly quit and died. And he was so angry. He was so mad at all the things that had happened in his life that he screamed out. He said, God, I hate you. And then he fell on his knees and began to weep. And he says, in that moment, he heard the voice of Christ speak to him, saying simply this, I know, and it's okay. And then he sends Christ right there with him, weeping in that trailer. And at that moment, he got up and he gathered his stuff and he began to head home. Christ knows everything about you. He knows when you're angry and say, I hate you, God. He knows when you love deeply. He knows your disappointments and your delights, your brokenness and your fears and your joys and your sorrows. He knows it all. And he will never leave you. Nothing, nothing will separate you from his love for you. See, Jesus knows you. And if you understand that, if you grasp that at the deepest parts of your heart, not just in your head, that will bring a deep confidence in your relationship with him. Because not only does he know you, but then you have to understand that he chose you. You remember when you were a kid, lunchtime, and it was time to pick teams for the soccer game that you were going to play at lunchtime? I mean, maybe you don't remember that, but I remember it vividly because in my school, the two coolest, best athletes would become the captains, and then they would start picking from the rest of us boys. And the whole time, you're like, oh, I hope I'm not the last guy to be picked. Oh, I hope I'm not. Because the last guy was always, you know, it would be guys turning to be like, you could have him on your team. And the other guy would be like, no, it's your pick. You get him. You're like, oh, I hope I'm not that guy. But sometimes it still feels that way for us, doesn't it? I mean, we aren't playing soccer on the playground at lunch, but it still feels that way. Like you're only picked because of what you have to offer. Or you don't have a lot to offer, and so you're picked later or last. And someone says, you know, you can have her on your team. And they're like, no, it's okay. You have her on your team. But Jesus is not like that. Jesus knows you perfectly. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the sin that you continually stumble over. He knows the insecurities and the struggles. He also knows your strengths, the beautiful parts of your life, the gifts and talents that you have. And he chose you to follow him. There are a lot of people that he could have chosen, but he chose you. Now, how do we know that he chose you? Well, first of all, it's implied in two places in this passage. First of all, you just have to understand that sheep don't pick their shepherds. The sheep don't get together and say, okay, bring a couple shepherds out. We'll pick this one. That's not how it works. The shepherd picks the sheep. But secondly, there's this fascinating way that Jesus speaks here, and it's easy to miss. Here's what he says. He's talking about those who aren't his sheep. Listen to what he says. He says to them, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. That's fascinating. He says, he doesn't say, because you don't believe, you're not my sheep. Instead, he says, because you're not my sheep, you don't believe. Now, if you turn that around and apply it to those who are sheep, he would say this, you aren't my sheep because you believe. Rather, you believe because you are my sheep, because I chose you. The Apostle Paul explained it this way at the beginning of his letter to the Christians in Ephesus. He says this, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. In other words, it's Jesus who chooses us. And then we respond to his call. There is a part for us to say, yeah, okay, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Back in this passage that we're looking at, he says this way, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. See, this is the difference between religion and the gospel. If you're religious, you figure that you chose God, and then that you have to earn his favor. You have to be good enough. And even if you know that Jesus died in your sins, for your sins in your place, you're always keeping score. You're always worried that you're not being a good enough Christian, that you're not working hard enough at it, or that you're subpar compared to the Christian you know, in the pew beside you, or that maybe there's always, or at least often, a time when you're disappointing God. See, that's a religious mindset. Because it's based on fear. It's based on earning God's favor. But the gospel of Jesus is totally different. The gospel of Jesus Christ says that we're so messed up. We are all such sinners that Jesus had to die for our sins. But at the same time, we are so loved that Jesus chose us, even though he knows everything about us. And he wants a real relationship with us. And so he gladly died for our sins. And when you understand the gospel, when you understand that message, it's both deeply humbling and at the same time, it means that we can have a deep sense of confidence. It's humbling because it means that you're not saved because of how great you are, how good your doctrine is, how you are a better person than someone else. It undermines, the gospel undermines the tendency for you to think, oh, look how lucky Jesus is that I'm going to follow him. Boy, I hope he treats me good because he should be pleased that I'm his follower. If you understand the gospel, there's a deep sense of humility that he chose you in his grace. At the same time, you have a deep sense of confidence. You don't have to prove yourself to Jesus. You don't have to continually keep score in your head to make sure that there's more wins than losses in your relationship with Jesus. You don't have to constantly compare yourself to the other sheep, the other Christians, to see if Jesus only picked you because you were the last one that there was left to pick. It's not how he works. You have a deep sense of confidence in your relationship with Jesus if you understand what Jesus is saying here. When you understand it, it means that you don't think more of yourself than you should, but it also means you don't think less of yourself than you should. Rather, it means that you think about yourself less. You have a new identity, one that is based not on performance, but on being loved and chosen in a relationship with Jesus. And that leads to a deep sense of confidence. Jesus says this to his sheep, I speak to you. I know you, I chose you, and now just to make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are secure in your relationship with him, he says this, I will never let you go. Here's what he says, verse 27 or 28. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. The Greek words that Jesus used here are the strongest possible words. Jesus is saying, I will never let you go. Now, if you're very familiar with the Bible, you can get into a huge theological debate here. You can be like, yeah, but can't someone lose their salvation? I mean, once saved, always saved. I mean, you could spend months debating this topic. You can read all kinds of books about it. And if that's your cup of tea, fill your boots. I mean, go for it. It's fine. But don't let that sidetrack you from what Jesus is saying here. Here's what Jesus is saying. These are his words. If you are his sheep, he will never let you go. No one and nothing will snatch you from his hands. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you it's what Jesus says right here. Think of a father who's walking with his young son or his young daughter, and they come to a steep hill or to a very busy street. I mean, that daughter or that young son will reach up and grab their father's hand, and they will hang on with all their strength because it's kind of scary. They're crossing the street or going down the steep hill, and they think that they're hanging on to their father, but we know that it's their father who is hanging on to them. As strong as they think they are, it's nothing like the grip that dad has upon his son or his daughter. So that if they stumble and if they fall and if they let go, he will never let them go. And so they can cross the busy street safely. They can go down the steep hill. I mean, that's the picture here that Jesus has. He says, I have you. In fact, my Father has you and he will never let you go. Do you understand the kind of security that you have in your relationship with Jesus? Do you get what it means to be one of his sheep? See, maybe you're saying, yeah, but wait. I mean, if that's the case, then can't anyone just say the prayer, hey, Jesus, come into my life, and then go and live however they want? And they don't have to worry about how they live. See, if you think that way, then you begin to think in the way of religion. Because, you see, religion is all about fear. It's all about God's disapproval. You need to continually keep score. Otherwise, you can't actually live for Jesus. See, that's a religious mindset that right away we fall into. The gospel is different. The gospel says that you are so loved because you have nothing to prove. Because Jesus chose you. And because he will never let you go. Therefore, you follow Jesus out of love for him. In fact, when you understand the gospel, you are more committed to following Jesus than if you tried to earn his approval. Why? Because if you earn his approval based on good works, there would be a limit to what he could ask you to do or allow you to walk through. Right? You'd be like a person who paid their taxes, and therefore they have a right to expect a certain standard of living. But when you understand that you're a sinner, that you've done nothing to deserve God's grace, and yet he pours his grace upon you, then there's nothing that he can't ask of you. There's nothing that he can't require of you because it's all his grace. But when you understand the gospel, then you don't follow out of fear, but rather out of love. And when you're secure in that love, then you have this incredible confidence. And that confidence is what leads to a deep, rich faith in Christ. It allows you to take risks. You know, when you have that confidence, you might not be the best Christian or the most consistent in your devotions. You might not know the right answers to all the questions that, you know, the theological questions. You might not know how to share your faith, you know, as well as you could or should. But when you understand the relationship with Christ, then you don't have to be the best. You don't have to get it all right all the time. You don't have to beat yourself up every time you aren't living up to whatever standards you have in mind. Instead, when you know you're secure in your relationship, you can think less about yourself and just do what he calls you to do. Not perfectly. He already knows that you're far from perfect, and that's okay. You can simply step out and say, okay, I'm not the greatest at this, but I'm just going to do because Jesus loves me and he picked me, so I'm going to do it. And that kind of security frees you up from always comparing yourself to others. He isn't measuring you against everyone else. He didn't pick you to be his sheep because you were better than some other sheep. He picked you because he wanted you to be his sheep. Because he likes you, because he loves you. That's why I picked you. So you don't need to compare all the time. Don't worry about the Christian beside you who seems to be doing so much more. You just do what Jesus called you to do. And that kind of security gives you strength in your relationship with Jesus. You know, all relationships, even the best, ebb and flow, have highs and lows. And that includes your relationship with Jesus. And if you're uncertain about how secure your relationship with him is, then when there's stress on it, when you feel far from him, or if you don't understand why he would or wouldn't do something in your life or in the life of someone that you love, or when you have some doubts or don't understand what he's doing, suddenly if you're insecure in that relationship with Jesus, the whole thing feels like it's in jeopardy, like maybe it'll crash to the ground. Like maybe he doesn't really have you. Maybe he isn't really holding on to you. Maybe he isn't so interested in how you're doing. Maybe he isn't even there. But if you know how deeply he loves you, that he speaks to you regularly by his word and by the Holy Spirit, that he knows you, that he chose you, that he will never let you go, then you can ride through the stormy parts of your relationship with Jesus without fearing that it's going to end. Then you can have very honest conversations with Jesus. Instead of hiding your doubts, you tell him your doubts. Instead of withdrawing your questions, you put the questions to him. You say, Jesus, I don't understand why. You tell him your frustrations. You wrestle with him. You respectfully call him out without abandoning your relationship with him at the time that you need it the most. See, you can have confidence in the midst of the storms of your life because you know that you know that you know that you know that you are his. See, security leads to confidence. If you don't grasp this, you will always feel a little tentative. You will always be a little anxious, always fearful, always keeping score. You will be doing religion instead of faith in Jesus, instead of the gospel. But if you understand how deeply he loves you and the rest of the power of the gospel, it will transform your life. It will set you free. It will keep you. It will allow you to stop keeping score. This is what you need to do. You stop. Stop keeping score. Stop worrying if you're doing it right or good enough or as good as you should. Instead, you just follow your good shepherd out of love for him. Just go and do whatever it is that he's calling you to do. No, I'm not a good enough Christian. No one would listen to me. Who am I to do that? There's other Christians who are better at that. They should do that kind of a thing. Just stop. Stop keeping score. The good shepherd chose you. He knows you. He is speaking to you, and he will never let you go. So you follow him. You follow him out of love for what he has done in your life, and he will lead you to a place of fullness and beauty in your life. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. Well, Jesus, we thank you that you are the good shepherd. And we thank you that our relationship with you is not about performance. That's a religious thing. Rather, it's about the security that we have. It's about what you've done for us. God, open our eyes to see that. Open our eyes to understand that at the deepest part, not just in our heads, but in our hearts. So, God, there's a confidence that we operate in. So there is both a humility in our understanding of what you've done for us and an incredible gratitude, but also this confidence that allows us to take risks, to weather storms, to not have to compare, to not constantly keep score, but God, instead to simply rest in what you've done for us and to follow Jesus. Now, we thank you for the freedom. We thank you for the life that comes through that. We thank you for the joy and the peace of knowing that we have this in our lives. So God, we bless you, we thank you, we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining us again today as we continue to work through what the Bible teaches us. The Bible is God's word, and so when it tells us these things, we take them to heart. We say, okay, God, teach me, guide me, help me know. I hope that you've been encouraged today as we've sat under his word, as we worship God together. May you walk in the strength of who you are in Jesus. Let me send you out with these words. The Apostle Paul writes this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. See you next week.